The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Well, good morning, church. Yes, it's good to be in the house in the Lord, is it? Amen. Thank you. Good. And thanks to my friend Sam. He's been coming here for the last 3 weeks, so we appreciate that you're being here, and hopefully you feel welcome and also feel love, and hopefully you'll be blessed with the service and also be blessed with our people as well. Thank you, Sam. Well, before we start, I'd like to open up in prayer and submit the message and also the service to a lovely God. So please may we bow our heads. Thank you. Oh Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for being a good Father, a good God. Thank you for allowing us to be your sons and daughters through your Son Jesus Christ, Lord God. Thank you for everything. Thank you for blessing us with this day. Thank you for keeping us safe and well and allowing us to come together to praise you, to worship you, and now to feed on your word and your truth, Lord God. So I pray that you speak through me to your people. I pray that you help us, give us ears to hear your word and your truth. Help us apply it to our life. Help us understand it too, Lord God, that we may glorify you in everything we do, Lord, that we may be like your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may please you, Lord God, all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. So as we continue on with the study of 1 John, I'll be continuing on where Tola left off last week. Last week, Tola preached on the practice of righteousness instead of the practice of sin and lawlessness. So if you can turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 10. So 1 John, chapter 3, verse 10. This verse, I believe, sums up the whole passage that Tola preached last week about righteousness and also not to practice sin and lawlessness. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, this is what it says. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. As some of you may already know, that 1 John is one of my favorite letters. And also, the Apostle John's writing is, the Apostle John is one of my favorite writers as well. And I believe probably for some of you guys here as well. The reason why, one reason why John is one of my favorite writers is because he always writes about love, or most of the time he writes about love, always reassuring us of God's love towards us. He's always reassuring us of that. And also, he's always encouraging us to love God in return for what he's done for us, but also he encourages us to love one another. The second reason why I love John's writing is that he is so black and white. When he always writes about the absolute. There's no gray areas, there's no in between. Just black and white, just truth at its absolute. So the truth that he presents in 1 John, in the message I'm going to present to you, is that John makes it clear that there are two types of people and there are two types of children in this world. There are those people, or there are those children who are of God, and there are those who are the people or the children of the devil. He makes that clear. Also, there are those who practice righteousness and love their brothers. And there are those who practice sin or lawlessness and does not love their brother but hate their brother. So when I mention the word brother, it means brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't mean brother only. So there's no gray areas when John presents the truth, and no one can be in between these truths. So either you're on God's side or you're on the devil's side. I mean, at the end of the day, the choice is yours. So I hope that my message today will help us all examine our own hearts and our own beliefs, our own deeds, and our own faith with the absolute truth of God, to see which side we belong to, which side we're on. But also my message, I hope to encourage everyone or to reassure everyone's faith or everyone's belief that they are on the right side, and that we encourage each other to be on that side, the side of God, God's side, which leads to salvation. So my text for today will be 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 to 24. This is what it reads from verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments, and we do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So from this passage, I have broken up this passage into three main points, so we can get a better understanding of the whole passage. Point number one, we'll see that John commands us, or we see the commandment to love one another, and also the commandment not to hate one another, from verses 11 to 15. The second point is how we are to love one another. Point number three, it's a blessing that we receive from loving one another. So point one, from verses 11 to 15, the command to love one another and not to hate one another. John starts off with verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. For those who remember, I think last month, I also preached about love. John starts with this phrase, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. Once again, he's reminding his readers, yes, the beginning of the commandment to love one another started when the gospel was first proclaimed. But also those readers are Christians. They first heard this commandment when they also first became saved. When they first heard the gospel, when they first gave their life to Christ, they also heard this commandment that we should love one another. So it's same as us. When we first came to know Christ, or when we first heard the gospel, We were commanded, we heard someone taught us to love one another. So that's what John is doing. He's faithfully being a good teacher, a good apostle, and good leader. He's to remind people. We all need reminding. That's important. And he jumps to verse, this is an interesting thing, what he does. From verse 11 to verse 12, he makes a contrast. He makes a contrast from loving one another and not then gives an example of what we should not do is to hate our brother. And he gives us an example through a story of two brothers from Genesis. So verse 12, it reads, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous." So if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. This will give us a better understanding of the story between Cain and Abel, the first two sons of Adam and Eve. And this story is very important and very interesting for us to understand. So Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 8. Because this story also gives us the first account of murder in humankind, in the world. So this is what it reads in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offspring, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.'" And in verse 8, "Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him." The first murder account that we have in the history of the world. So when I read this, you know, I wonder why didn't God accept Cain's offering? Why didn't God regard Cain's offering of the fruit of the ground? Because he was a farmer of fruit, while Abel was a farmer of sheep, a flock of sheep. So I wondered, but I thank God for doing this study because he helped me realize the answer to that. And the answer can be found if you turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. This gives us a clear understanding, a better understanding, why God did not regard Cain's offering, but Abel's offering. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. This is what it reads. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." Hopefully that makes it clear to you. Abel made an offering by faith. What Abel did is that he believed in God, he trusted in God, he gave the best that he had. He gave the firstborn of his sheep, of his flock of sheep. As you can see, these two brothers believe in God, they know God, and they were doing an act of worship because they were giving to God as a sacrifice. Yes? But one gave the fruit of the ground, which is Cain. Abel gave the firstborn of the flock of sheep that he had and the fat portions. Abel, by faith, gave the best that he had to God. Well, Cain, he didn't give the best. If you understand, if you have read the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, it talks about the law that God gave to Moses. that you have to give the first fruits of your harvest. Yes, is a worship and honoring gift to God. Yes, and also if you have sheep or animals or car, or you have livestock, you have to give the firstborn to God. Yes, so even before the law came into being, by faith, Abel gave the firstborn of his sheep, and that was acceptable to God. So what it's saying is that our offering, our giving to God has to be the best that we can offer to God. Not something that is left over or the worst thing that we have. You know what I mean? There's a difference. And also the Bible makes it clear also that we have to do everything by faith. If we don't do it by faith, it becomes sin. Amen? Yes. And also, the reason why Cain's offering was not accepted or regarded by God, because it was with wrong intention. It says, when we read in 1 John, Cain's offering, it says, because his own deeds were evil and his brother's was righteous. So already it tells us the heart of Cain. His deeds, his offering, in a sense, was evil, in a sense. And also it mentioned that he was of the devil. Yes? And Abel, who's righteous, who's committed righteous, he belongs to God. Two different brothers. And then, why did he kill Abel? Because of hatred and mainly jealousy that God favored his offering? Because Abel was offering from the heart. He offered through faith. But Cain didn't. So you see that. You see that Abel was practicing righteousness, but Cain was practicing sin or lawlessness. And then we continue on with verse 13 from 1 John. We continue with verse 13. It says, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has life abiding in him. Verse 13 is interesting. It says, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Why did Cain hate Abel? 1 John says that his deeds were evil, but also he was of the devil. He belonged to Satan. That's why he hated his brother and murdered his brother. And also, if you understand, the world is under the influence and the power of Satan, the evil one. And he has been the murderer since the beginning. Because the world is under the influence and power of Satan, the world will hate us. If we practice righteousness, as Tola preached on last time, if we do what is right and pleasing to God, we also will be hated by the world, by our friends and family who's of the world. Remember, Jesus also said, because they hate me, they will also hate you. And we are no greater than our master. If we do what Jesus did by pleasing the Father, by living righteously, by practicing righteousness and doing what's right, always pleasing God, we will also be hated by the world. And remember all the saints. Hebrews chapter 11 talk about the men and women of faith. They lived by faith. They practiced righteousness. And what happened? They were persecuted. Some were stoned to death. Some were killed. They were hung. They were beheaded. Yes? Because the world hated them, because of their righteous acts. So don't be surprised, don't be shocked to realize that the world hates you or your friend hates you because you're making a stand for God. You're living rightly. You don't participate or do what they do. Amen? Remember, we're in this world, but we're off this world. Okay? God called us out of this world to be set apart, to be holy, holy brothers and sisters, holy family unto God. In verse 14, if we are born again Christian, if we belong to God, we have passed out of death into life because we love our brothers, because Christ rescued us from this. He rescued us from the slavery of sin, but also he rescued us from the darkness of Satan, and brought us into life, eternal life in God. So we've passed out of death into life because The seed that God has given us through His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, helps us love one another. Love is the evidence. Love is the proof that we are a child of God, that we have salvation, and that we are no longer in darkness, and that we're no longer in death, but in life. Because it says in verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Because we have God's seed, the Holy Spirit, who helps us, who empowers us to love one another. Love is the evidence of a child of God. And we have eternal life. We don't do what the world does. The world will hate. The world will hate the enemies, but even those who harm them, who offend them. Hate is a characteristic of someone who belongs to the devil, who belongs to the world. And love, my dear friend, should be a characteristic, a nature of a born-again Christian, of a child of God. Amen? So moving on to point two. So we now heard that we are commanded to love. But the question is, how do we love? Last time I preached, my main focus was to love our neighbors as ourselves, was to love the least of these. Remember that? You know, to visit those who are in prison. Yeah, visit the sick and feed the poor and the orphans, the hungry. Yeah, my main focus today will be mainly the focus on the love between brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. My main focus today is to hopefully help each other understand what it means to love one another, as God has commanded us to do. So point number two, how are we to love one another? We get the answer from verse 16 and 18. It says, By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So the best example, how did we know that God loved us? How did we know that? We knew that from the gospel, yes? The good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was God the Son, became a man, you know, humble himself, became a man, and died for our sins on the cross. He sacrificed himself on the cross for our sins, that we might have forgiveness for sins and eternal life. That's how we first knew what love was. We love because God loved us first, yes? But why did he die for our sins? Why did God do that? Because first of all, he loved us, but he saw a need. He saw that we needed saving. We needed saving from the slavery of sin. We needed saving from the powers of Satan. We needed saving from God's wrath and judgment to come because of sin. He saw that we needed help. There was a need. We needed forgiveness for sins. We needed a hope. We needed eternal life. So he came to fulfill that need. He came to fulfill that need. And that's how we first knew what love was, because he laid his life down for us. He sacrificed his life for us because we needed help. And that's what love is. Love is helping a brother in need. We will see that in verse 17. But I just want to share to you a bit more. I mean, now we know what love is because Christ laid down his life for us. The second part, he asked us to lay down our lives for our brothers. What does that mean? What does it mean to lay down our lives for our brothers or sisters? Okay, some people, this verse is so dangerous because some people can take it so out of context. You know? Some people can take it to the extreme and go, you know, like you see in the world, some people are willing to lay down their life for their God and believe that they will get a reward for that. Believe that they are fighting God's war, fighting God's battle. That they believe that they're doing this for God. They're worshiping God. It's an act of worship to God. This is what some religion believe. And you see the terrible thing that happens in the world. What do you hear about suicide bombers? They go to the extreme of saying they love God, they worship God. I'm willing to lay down my life for God and fight this war and battle for God. But I'm going, if your God is almighty, if your God is almighty and all-powerful, why are you fighting his war, his battle? He can do it himself. He doesn't need your help. Amen? But people can take a scripture or a verse out of context and say what they want to say, you know. But our God is not a God of war or of hatred or violence. Our God is a God of peace and love. Amen. So this is an act of love in a different kind of way. This love is when we sacrifice our time, sacrifice our lives, our own comfort in a sense to help a brother and sister in need. Yes, we're willing to put ourselves after helping our brother. You know what I mean? It's a sacrifice. Yes? We give to our brothers who are in need. Even though we probably need that, we probably need this for our comfort or for our blessing, but we bless others. It's better to give. So when we see a brother in need, we give. Yes? And we're willing to put ourselves last and put them first. That's what it means to lay our life down. But even if we are required to go to the extreme, that we're willing to die for our brothers, that is also commendable before God. You know what I mean? Think about it. We are now in the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in God. In God. Yes? Amen. How many of you guys love your brothers and sisters? How many? You all do? We all do, yeah? If your brother was sick or your brother was in need, he was dying, and if you could help him, you could help that need, you're willing to give your life to help your brother who's dying, who's in need. Amen? So God requires the same as well. Of course, we might not love each other as much as we ought to. You know what I mean? But that's our love for each other is not complete yet. But once it's complete, we're willing to die for our brothers and sisters. But that's why John encouraged us to love each other more. More now because we're coming to the ends of the last days. He wants us to love each other more and more. But when you build enough, when you get to know each other enough, if you build a strong relationship, believe me, you're willing to die for one another. Yes? So let us love one another. Because that pleases God. But also, if we don't love one another, we don't get along with one another, that grieves God. That grieves the Heavenly Father. How many of us here are fathers or mothers when we see our son and daughters don't get along? Doesn't it grieve you? Doesn't it break your heart? Yeah? Because all you want for them is to get along, to love one another. But it breaks your heart when they don't. Same thing. We should not grieve God, you know what I mean? We should get along, love one another. Yeah, so verse 17, this is what it says. This is what we ought not to do. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This is how we not ought to do. See, a brother's in need. We have to help them, in a sense. If we've got the resources and ability to help, we help them in our needs. Because if we don't help them, God's love is not in our hearts. Yes? We do not, in a sense, have God's love, in a sense, God's Spirit. Because we have the Spirit is the Spirit of love, is it not? Yes? We are being disobedient to God. So we should not do this. And also, when we love, let our love be sincere and genuine. Let us not pretend or act to love one another. Let it be in truth. Amen. Yes? Not just in talk, but also in deed. Let it be genuine, sincere. If we're struggling or having problems to love our brothers or sisters or one another, then we have to pray and ask God for it, for the ability to do it. But do it in sincerity, in genuineness. Yes? Because if you're trying to pretend or fake it or not let it be true or be real, they can see through that, and it makes it worse. I like what James chapter 2, verse 14 and 17 says. James chapter 2, verses 14 and 17, it says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So if you know a brother who is in need and you have the ability or the resources to help him in need, and you turn him away and just bless him in a sense, your faith is questionable. Your faith is questionable. So I encourage you guys, yes, to look into that. You know what I mean? To ask God for that love, for the divine love. This love is from God. We cannot muster it up with our own strength to do this. It's hard. It's hard enough to love our blood family, our blood brothers and sisters, you know what I mean? Imagine loving those we don't really know, we never grew up with. It's going to be hard. But we have to. And only by the grace and divine gift of the Holy Spirit we can do this. Amen? And point number three, the blessings from loving one another. There's great blessings if we love one another, if we put this into practice. And we find this in verses 19 to 24. Verse 19, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. This verse here, it is so sweet and so beautiful, especially for those who might feel or believe that they're being deceived, that they're not walking in truth, or that they're not in the truth or know the truth. It's also, this is so beautiful and sweet also for those who have doubt of their salvation or insecurity of salvation. If we practice loving one another, this should reassure our hearts that we are in the truth, yes, and that we belong to God. So this is a proof, is evidence that we need to reassure our hearts that we have salvation, that we are not deceived. We know God, we know the truth because we're practicing righteousness, and this is to love one another. Because remember in Jeremy, it says our heart is deceitful above all things, yes? So we cannot base the evidence of our salvation always on our feelings and emotion, because they change. We have to base it on the Word of God. If the Word of God says that we are saved, we are child of God because we love one another, then that should reassure our heart. It should give peace and rest for our heart. So let us not doubt that we're not saved. Let us not doubt that we're not in the truth, or we're not a son or child of God. As long as we're practicing righteousness to love one another, we can be assured that we have salvation and eternal life. We always have to base our belief on the Word of God, because it doesn't change us and it doesn't lie. But our heart, yes, remember, Satan will accuse us. He is accuser of the brethren, like the Bible say. But remember, Jesus Christ is interceding for us towards the Father. Amen? So don't trust our hearts. Okay? Trust the Word of God. And know that if you're practicing these things, you are a child of God. In verse 20 it says, For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Satan will always try to make us feel condemned. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Yes? So when we're feeling condemned, it's either our heart deceiving us or Satan is. But that's why we know that God is greater than our hearts. God knows everything. He knows who belongs to Him. He knows His child. And we have to know that we have to know His word, for us not to be condemned. You know what I mean? Yes? It's important. So that's blessing number one, that we can be sure that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts with peace and joy that we are a child of God. Blessing number two, we will receive whatever we ask of Him. This is such a great promise, a great blessing. Yes, that if we practice righteousness, that we love one another, we have peace and rest for our hearts, but also a heart will not condemn us. And if a heart does not condemn us, we can come boldly to God, to the throne of grace, and ask Him whatever, of course according to His will, and He will give to us, because we do what pleases Him. That's what it says in verse 21. Beloved, if a heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. Isn't that a great promise, a great blessing? Yes? That whatever we ask, He will give to us, because we are a faithful, a good child of God. We do what pleases Him. I mean, when you, those who are parents here, when your child has been good to you and listened to you and obey you, pretty much whatever he asks for you, you probably try to bless him and give to him, yes? Because he's been a good child in a sense. So likewise, our Father is greater than us in a sense. I mean, in a true sense, yes. He's more loving and more good than any father in this world can be. And he knows how to give good gifts to his child that asks him. And so to conclude my message today, I'll finish up with blessing number three. The blessing number three is that God will give us His Holy Spirit to assure us that we truly belong to Him. This is a great blessing. Verse 23, it says, "And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abide in God, and God in Him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us." So this passage or verse is saying, if we keep God's commandments and love one another, we can be sure that we remain in God and God in us. If we keep God's commandment and love one another, we are practicing righteousness and not practicing sin or lawlessness. If we keep God's commandments and love one another, we can be sure we are on God's side and not the devil's side. We can also be sure that we are a child of God and not a child of the devil. We can also be sure that we know the truth and are not being deceived. We can also be sure that our salvation is secured by God. So let our hearts not be condemned. And we can also be sure and certain of all these things because of the Spirit that He has given us. And the Holy Spirit, what it says in Romans 8:15-16, has brought us His adoption. We have been adopted into God's family, His sons and daughters. Yes? And we cry out, "Abba, Father." The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are a child of God. Amen? So not only by keeping God's commandment and loving one another is evidence and proof that we belong to God. He has given us His Holy Spirit to testify that. To testify that to our hearts and our spirit that we belong to God and a child of God. Isn't that beautiful? It's wonderful. So let us remind ourselves. Let us remind one another to continue to love one another and encourage each other to do this more as we are in the last days. Because this pleases our Father. If we do this, we love one another, it pleases our Father and honor Him and brings Him glory. But remember, all this is by the grace of God to give us the divine love through His Spirit to do this. So if we're lacking this, if any one of us is lacking this, let's pray. Pray that God will bless us, fill us more with His love, that we too might love one another, that we too might have the power through the Holy Spirit to be able to do this, which pleases our Father. Amen? Amen. I will close in our prayer now. Thank you. Oh Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your beautiful truth. Thank you for this command to love one another, Lord God. We cannot do this in our own strength, our own will, Lord God. But we know that by your grace, you have blessed us with the Holy Spirit to empower us, to help us to do this, Lord God. So please help us all, forgive our brothers and or sisters or anyone, Lord God, that has offended us or sinned against us. Have us have no bitterness or anger or hatred towards them, but help us love them, Lord God, as you loved us when we were sinners, Lord God. So thank you for allowing us to know what love is, because you are love, Lord God, and love came from you. So help us love one another and get along with one another, Lord God, because we are your children, and it pleases you to know that your children are getting along and loving one another, because you are Heavenly Father. So may you help us remember this, remind us of this always, Lord God, and help us understand it, and also help us mostly apply it to our life. We want to bless you, we want to love you, we want to glorify and honor you. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.